I'll jump in. So here's what I would say. We've watched a wind trajectory of 20 plus years, followed by a solar trajectory for 20 plus years. And in Texas in particular, I think we've done a very good job of building a lot of intermittent renewables. And so storage is just the next development to come and help smooth those resources and support those resources. I think you're right for California. They were out front. That, in my view, was driven by state mandates. So that would be my answer. I'll pass it to the others.
Well, I involve a few perspectives. I think there's an evolution, and the answer is different in different places. Obviously, I kind of come from the California context before I joined Forman. Policy there had a huge transforming impact in jumpstarting the market. And other states have kind of followed that approach too, where you set some targets and you create some programs, and that alone can drive a market. And the rationale for doing that is oftentimes based on an understanding of the long-term value that storage can provide in the market. And states kind of thinking about, okay, what can they do in terms of investments in the near term so that they can unlock future value that they can see through modeling and analysis. And there's a bunch of states that kind of engage in that type of activity, the ones that do planning, the ones that have vertically integrated utilities, that think about kind of how do you do planning to lower overall system costs. So that's really analysis based. And then there's other states that are having just critical reliability problems, and there's different flavors of that. And this is not necessarily the case in Texas, but other parts of the country, lots of coal plants in particular, lots of power plants are retiring. And that's creating a question about, well, what do you replace those resources with? And how do you find alternative sources of reliability? And especially in places where they're focused on reducing emissions, where they just don't want to build gas, or they've got gas constraints, that points to opportunities for storage. And then there's just places where the market economics today are already creating economic opportunities, and Texas is sort of a prime example of that. There's just certain places in the grid where there's already really compelling economics to make storage work, but you could get even more storage through thinking about what aren't the markets valuing, and where might they need to go to unlock more opportunities.
Thanks, Jason. Christine, I think you might be on mute.
Apologies, yes, I am. To echo what Jason and Sally mentioned with respect to Texas specifically, ERCOT, and I think we mentioned this with the aging conventional generational units, they'll be replaced by renewables. And so with the increase of the need for ancillary services, or this will increase the need for ancillary services to help keep the ERCOT grid balanced. Energy storage projects are well positioned to monetize those ancillary services in the highly liquid ERCOT market. So that's our interest in specifically in that area, but also in other markets with high capacity values are a major value driver, especially in CAISO, New York, New England ISO, and PJM. So the financial incentive is a pretty attractive key part of that.
Great, thanks, Christina. Thanks, all. Those very helpful comments there. I think, and you all, I think, mentioned some of the dynamics in the ERCOT market, including ancillary services prices. There are a couple of them that are quite high and quite attractive for storage, arbitrage opportunities, et cetera. And then also some of the other drivers in other markets, such as capacity markets like California. We're definitely going to get into those in more detail. So since as we're still focused a bit on Texas, let's go into, frankly, one of the most relevant topics, right, when it comes to energy markets in Texas, which is Winter Storm Uri, which, as we all know, happened last year. And I think we recognize that some of the previous panels have maybe talked about this a bit, sessions, so we'll try to keep the intro short on this. But for those who are less familiar with the economic impacts of Uri, as we all know, almost exactly a year ago, half of Texas generation went offline. Millions of people were without power for days. I think around 100 people or so died. So there's a massive human cost to Winter Storm Uri and the winter effects on all sorts of generators, renewables and gas generators and others. From an economic perspective, many of the wind projects there have hedge contracts in place. And for those of the attendees who aren't as familiar with hedge contracts, they're just contracts to essentially swap fixed and floating prices. Most wind projects, especially those in Texas, will have fixed volume hedges, which require that a fixed volume of energy, despite the intermittency, is still going to be put out to the market. And the fixed price at the market, at the hub, trading hub for where the price is settled, is being swapped by a hedge provider for the floating price that the project provides. So if the fixed price that's being promised by the hedge provider is different than the floating price, there's a swap of the excess. And so if there's the floating price goes above the fixed price, the price, the project is on the hook to pay that delta to the hedge provider and vice versa. As we all know, half of generation went offline, and the scarcity in Texas was pretty massive. I think the ramps were around 70 gigawatts at its peak last year, which is quite high. ERCOT prices went to, I think, around $9,000 per megawatt hours at their peak. And so for these wind projects that were being settled at the hub, where projects were taking all the basis risk, that means the difference between the hub price and the node price, and had to settle massive amounts of production, the projects were very much out of the money and were exposed to the tune of around a few billion dollars in total. And so there were massive impacts on the economics, of course, massive human impacts. And that all said, there's now been a new resulting change and shift in how renewables are potentially procured in Texas. There's been a slight move away from fixed shape hedges. There's been more robust force majeure clauses, a question about maybe even fixed capital contributions from off-takers. Let me just step back and ask, based on all those impacts from Winter Storm Uri, before we get into the storage question, let's just talk about how do you foresee the markets in Texas changing and shifting in response to Uri going forward, before we get to storage, just generally speaking.